And I'll be sharing the story. The topic that I picked was facing reality. And the reality is that I'm a big perfectionist and color-coded person. And a year or two ago, I came up here with notes, color-coded. I had practiced. I had worried. I had dreamt about it, fretted. And today I come here with no notes, nothing in my head, and the reality is that you guys are going to love me anyway. And I learned that in Al-Anon, and I want to thank Bruce, because you know, Bruce, I was there those years, but oh my God, what if I forget my story? Gee, I know my story, you know, so if I forget a part, you guys will not know it. So I just want to read today from Courage to Change about facing reality. Life is a package deal. It is not enough to look only at the parts we like. It is necessary to face the whole picture so that we can make realistic choices for ourselves and stop setting ourselves up for disappointment. Living with alcoholics, many of us coped with an ever-shifting situation in which our sense of reality changed from 1 minute to the next. We adapted by taking whatever part of reality suited us and ignoring the rest. Again and again, we were devastated because reality didn't go away just because it was ignored. Our lives will remain unmanageable as long as we pretend that only half of the truth is real. That's why sharing is such an important Al-Anon tool. When we share with other members about what is really going on, we cut through our denial and anchor ourselves in reality. While it may be difficult to face certain facts, when we allow ourselves to confront them, we cease to give our own denial the power to devastate us at every turn. Today's reminder, I can't cope with something unless I acknowledge its reality. When I am willing to look at the whole picture, I take the first step towards a more manageable life. Quote, if you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That is where they should be. Now put foundations under them. Henry David Thoreau. When I first came to Al-Anon 6 years ago, I did not want to face reality. I wanted to control and fix him because I was perfect and I was great and wonderful and he was the problem and I was going to come here and get all the answers in 30 days or less, preferably, and then go back home and then be happy-go-lucky. And the reality is that I stuck along enough to find out that I was the problem and that I was the solution. So that's the good part, that I was the controlling one, the manipulator. Would you like a chair? I have a chair back right here. And that I was unhappy and I was out of control because I was unhappy and I was out of control. It wasn't because someone else was making me unhappy. I have choices. I have a higher power. I have steps. I have people who love me here in this program, and that's how I was able to face reality and live the life that I'm living now. And baby, I am living large. I am having a great time. I'm the oldest child of alcoholic parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, but I didn't know that growing up. I just knew that it was really chaotic, and sometimes I lived with my grandmother, and sometimes I lived with my mom, with one of the boyfriends, and my dad and one of the girlfriends, or, you know, and so it was chaotic. And I didn't realize that it was an alcoholic home. I just knew that it was kind of crazy. Went all through school as a little perfect child because that's how I could kind of control the situation, or so I thought. So I was an early controller since, you know, third grade. Went on, I want to get to the good part, which is today, you know. So, you know, we all have those stories about we came here and how crazy it was. It was crazy. So I married my first crazy guy, tried to fix him, and that didn't work out. Tried for the second crazy guy, and that's when the ride got really good, and I decided to come to Al-Anon. When I came to Al-Anon, I realized, oh my gosh, I come from an alcoholic family. Oh, this was alcoholism. Oh, my brother qualifies me for this program. Oh, my, you know, and I started putting all of the pieces together that I belonged here way before I married that alcoholic, which I will forever be grateful for the alcoholic, because had I not come to Al-Anon, I would not have found me. And so I'm so grateful for the disease and the craziness, because now I have peace, serenity, and joy because of what I learned here in Al-Anon. My life, married and you know, his, mine, and our kids, there were five kids, and I wanted control, of course, and I color-coded everything. You know, Jacob was blue, Rolando was green, Melanie was pink, Dominic was yellow, and we all had yellow towels and yellow toothpaste, and everybody had their own color because I was going to be in charge of all that family, you know? That's right, and I was, you know, whoosh, with a whip, and when I first shared my story, they said, "Mom, don't forget to tell them that when you used to come to the door, they were like, 'She's here!' And they would all scram, including the husband. You know, they're like, 'Oh my gosh, she's here!' And it's like, dun, 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 dun. Is everything in order? Is everything, you know?" We had a little checklist. My 4-year-old had, we had a laminated thing on the refrigerator. "I don't care if you don't read, there's teeth. Brush your teeth, make your bed." And so my ex-husband used to say, "I never wanted to go to the refrigerator because there was like a list there for me." So I never ate. And that is how I lived my life, with a lot of control, perfectionism. But underlying that, I found in Al-Anon that was really about fear. And that was really about, if I control my external area and the kids and the house, then I would not face reality that I was living in an alcoholic home where there was no intimacy, where there was no communication, where you don't talk, where you don't feel, where you avoid things. But if I kept everything color-coded and PT Keen, I would not have to face that alcoholism was affecting me, my family, my kids. When I came to Al-Anon, after trying everything else, of course, because I was going to go to all the therapists, read all the self-help books, get all of the tapes, all of the CDs, all of Dr. Phil's, all of Oprah's, all of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, everything. And after I did all of that, I was like, this is not working. I need something else. And I came to Al-Anon. All these people loved me from the beginning. Oh, my God, but I got to tell you the story. I walk in there. I'm thinking, I hope no one sees me. I mean, gosh, you know, I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. And I walk in, and it's this woman who's there part-time. It was in Cathedral Canyon, the Canyon Springs, and you have to sign your name. How many Emma Lindas are in town? You know, I'm like, I'm going to sign my name. They're all going to know I'm here. And there she was, a secretary, a part-time job, and I know her. So I'm like, okay, there goes anonymity. And I walk in and heard the whole story. Heard everyone's story. I was not going to share because, gee, after all, I'm a professional. I have a master's degree, and I'm not going to share my stuff because you'll all think that I'm crazy, and meanwhile, they're paying me to help you guys. And so I was not going to share anything, and I just figured I'll just buy all these books. I'll highlight everything, and I'll open it by the bed so he could read, you know, "You are the problem." And I left, and I didn't come back for 1 year. I did not come back, and I stayed in my pain. I stayed in the dysfunction. I stayed in the chaos. I checked in. I stayed in the checking pieces of paper in the briefcase. I stayed into following him to work to see how long you're working. I mean, that was crazy. I stayed in the going to Radio Shack and tapping my phone, thinking I'm going to find something. I found something about my son, but nothing about the husband and everybody else, you know. I busted him. But it was, oh, that was a good bust. But it was crazy. It was crazy. Can you imagine putting in the tape, thinking it's 12 o'clock, coming back home for lunch, taking out the tape, putting in a new tape, hearing on the way home, you know? And so meanwhile, all he's doing is drinking on weekends, and I'm crazy every day. So I knew that I belonged here. I knew I belonged here. The next year, I came back because things were just still too crazy. And I decided I'm going to be the literature person because I could get all those books for free. I'll read all of them now, not just one or two little daily things. And I'll get all the information, and I'll go to a couple of meetings. And that really did not work. What worked was getting a sponsor, coming to meetings, reading the literature, having a connection with my higher power, who I choose to call God. And when that didn't work, You go to meetings, you talk to the sponsor, you read the literature. When that doesn't work, you read the literature, you call the sponsor, you go to meetings. It's just basic. It's real simple. This is really a simple program for complicated people, and I'm complicated. And so when I started following the guidelines of my sponsor and really getting honest and facing reality, the reality was that I was affected by alcoholism. The reality was that I was married to an untreated dry drunk. The reality was that I cannot control my kids. The reality is I cannot control my coworkers. The reality is, and I hated reality because I wanted what I thought about, what I wanted it to be, what I liked it to be, what I dreamt it to be, what I hoped it to be. I had this image since I was a little girl of how my family was going to be. We were all going to have dinner. We were all going to pray. We were going to say, pass the vegetables. And at the end, we were going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, you know? And when that didn't happen, I was like, wait a minute, my play is not coming out the way I envisioned it. And the reality is, you know, I have 5 kids, I had a dry drunk, and I was crazy, and we were not singing Kumbaya. So I had to up my meetings and call my sponsor every day just so that I could start facing reality and facing the truth, you know? And the truth was that I needed recovery, and I needed to change some things. And probably the first couple of years, I wanted to change him. He needed to go to meetings. He needed to go into treatment. He needed to get a sponsor, and he needed to read because I was fine. So that's why I stick around, because it kind of takes years, even for smart ones like us. You know, we still think somehow it's he. And really, it's me. I needed to go to more meetings. I needed to face reality. And the reality is that I am powerless. I am powerless, and I need to get on my knees every morning and say, God, please guide my thinking, because if I am left to my own devices and my thinking, I'm in trouble. So right from the very instant in the morning, I get on my knees, and I say, guide my thinking, guide my day. And I have to take these slogans that I learned here. You know, let go and let God, which means mind my business, you know. And that's how I live my life today, because that way just was not working. When I started going to meetings, going to conventions like this, going to 4-step workshops, I started getting honest about myself and saw that the things that I pointed out in him I had, I was dishonest. I was manipulative, but I justified everything, so it didn't seem as bad for me. So I had to add that into character defect, you know. And plus, my white lie was kind of a different than his lying. So, you know, so I had to rationalize it. Yeah, well, I lie, but I lie for this, not for that. Well, it doesn't matter. And that little line of character defect, that means dishonest. It's not like a little pregnant. It's just dishonest. So I started figuring out that, oh my gosh, I have those same character defects that he has, and I'm busy pointing the finger at him, and maybe if I look at them at me and work on me, then I could make me happy. So here I was all of these years thinking, you know, he needs to get it, and I needed to get it, that he wasn't going to get it, that I need to get it, that I got it. Get it? So that's when I kind of surrendered and started really working on me. And I took a long time to do a 4-step inventory because, you know, I wanted it to be with columns and I wanted Word Perfect with Arial, 12 points, actually, you know. And so I procrastinated because I wanted to be so perfect about it. And I really encourage you to just do it. Just like the Nike commercial, just do it. It will free you just to see about you. You just need to look at you. And when I started doing that, well, first I took his inventory, then I did mine. That's the truth. You know, I'm like, that's the reality. Let me take his inventory, then I'll do mine. And in doing mine, you know, I got to look at that there were some great things about me, Because, you know, it's an inventory. You have to look at the whole picture. The good stuff and the bad stuff. Color coding is good, but not at 1 o'clock in the morning when you should be sleeping. And, you know, there is some value to organization, but not when it goes overboard. So I started looking at the whole picture and facing the facing that reality that I needed to make some adjustments if I wanted to live a serene life. In the beginning of this serene life, it was quite boring. I did not like serenity. I'd call my sponsor and say, there's no chaos. Everyone is saying please and thank you. I'm staying out of the way. I'm not in control. I'm minding my business. I'm letting go and letting God. I'm saying this too shall pass. How important is it? And I am bored. There is no excitement. And she's like, you will get used to the peace and serenity. It's just different. And week by week, you know, the Sundays were less chaotic. Of course, you know, they're with three or four teenagers. That doesn't last very long. You know, I get the little chaos zinged in there. But I started getting used to a serene life. I started getting used to living my life. And now I'm not going to tolerate any kind of uncomfortableness. I'm not going to tolerate no serenity. And if you're going to come to my house, these are the rules because I live happy, joyous, and free. And if you don't like it, you can leave. That's what I told my teenage sons. And that's why some of them don't live there anymore. And, you know, and I was only able to do that because of this program. Courage to change the things I can. And it took a lot of courage to say, I'm sorry, if you choose to smoke marijuana, you cannot do it in this house. And I chose to detach from that behavior. And I have no control over what school he goes to, or if he pierces his ears, or if he's going to highlight his hair. I have no control over that. I don't like it, but if it affects me and now you're 18, I no longer have to support you in my home and look at it. And how did I do that? By coming to these meetings, by hearing your stories, and getting the courage to do the things that I was scared about. Facing reality. I did not want to face reality about living with a dry drunk. I was hoping that somehow I could be leading by attraction. Of course, I did the promotion, trying to lead by promotion first, but it was the attraction of being peaceful, of working my steps, of going to the meetings. And I was just hopeful that my ex-husband would get the program that way too. And unfortunately, that did not happen. And that's the reality. The reality is I chose not to accept that behavior. I divorced him, and I still hung on for 3 years. You know when they said let go and let God? That guy has claw marks on his back. Because I was like, no, I'm not going to let go of this guy. And even through the divorce, and 3 years later, I'm trying to reconcile. I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to dream. And we'll be like this couple, that they'll get into recovery, and it'll be all nicey-nicey. And the reality is that this is a program for people who want it, not people who need it, people who want it. I cannot make that person come here and get recovery, but I want recovery, and I want peace, and I want serenity, and I had to face reality. And I recently faced that reality just, you know, November, December, making those little baby steps and having my sponsor hear me out and saying, oh, but I love this guy. He makes a great cheese omelet. And she says, you need to look at the whole picture, not this, you know, sometimes you just want to look at the good stuff. Oh, he has nice black and white hair, and he's this and he's that. And I don't want to look at the other part, all of the behaviors and the symptoms of the alcoholism, you know, the unavailability, the anger, the rage, all of those symptoms that we read about. And so I had to look at the entire picture. Was I willing to live without recovery in my home? Was I willing to accept that for me? Some families do. So then I kept juggling back and forth. This person lives with an active alcoholic for 25 years. Why can't I stay? If they stay, I can stay. And then it's like, I like peace and serenity too much. I don't want to deal with the resentment. I don't want to deal with my uncomfortableness. I don't want to wake up in the morning and think, ugh, you know, I'm so resentful. I'm so miserable. I'm so upset. My stomach hurts. The kids are walking on eggshells. I don't want to live like that anymore. And when I made that decision of facing reality, it was painful because I loved that person. I still love that person. But that behavior is just not acceptable for me, and I'm not willing to live like that anymore. And so there went the grief and the loss and the tears and the program. I knew that it was going to be painful, so I'm going to up my meetings. Instead of once a week or twice a week, I'm going to go 3 and 4 times a week. I'm going to go during the day. I'm going to go during the night. I'm going to call all my sponsors. I'm going to read everything about detachment every single day just so that I can get through that pain. I'm going to call on my higher power when I'm driving to work, when I'm thinking about him, when I hear the love song channels. I'm going to turn off that radio, you know, and I'm going to face the reality. The reality is that alcoholism has robbed me of a wonderful, loving marriage. That alcoholism has robbed my children of the relationship that they could have with a father that's unavailable. The reality is that my daughter is more connected to her dad than they are to me. That's the reality. Alcoholism did that in my family. But now I have an opportunity and a choice to do recovery for me, take my kids to Alateen, actually drag my kids to Alateen, and share the program, talk about the slogans, and have them in my life, because hopefully they can see that I'm living my life differently. And whether they like it or not, they're in recovery. And so now I am living large. I am happy, joyous, and free because I was willing to come here and listen to your stories, read the steps, the slogans, and change my life. And please do not leave before the miracle happens. Every single day, I am just so serene and so happy. By the way, I am dating and I'm having lots of fun doing that. And I would have never thought that a year ago. I was in such pain. And I have a great relationship with my kids. Things happen, the vicissitudes of life, but I have tools and a program that help me get through all of the challenges of life. This is not a magic program. You know, God doesn't come and just sprinkle all this serenity and lovey-dovey hearts and kisses. You need to work your butt off. You need to do your steps. You need to get a sponsor. You need to come to meetings. You need to work through the program. It's just not going to happen. You need to do your part. You need to show up, suit up, and do your stuff. And believe me, you will reap the rewards. I am living proof that Al-Anon works, no matter how stubborn and color-coded and crazy I was. I am living my life one day at a time. I'm enjoying it. And I want to hear about how you guys face reality. Thanks for letting me share. You guys can step up here, or I'm going to start calling names. No control issues here.
Bruce, will you go first?
My table needs me.
After you share.
After I share. This isn't fair. Afternoon, y'all. I'm Bruce.
Hi, Bruce.
I've been a part of this convention for a few years now, you know, and I'm actually a member of that other program, you know, but if truth be known, I'm also a member of this program, too. You know, my sponsor and other people, you know, in this program pointed that out to me. You know, I heard somebody say it this morning that they're a double winner, and I realize I've been called that before, too, you know, so I'm grateful for that, you know. I'm a sick puppy. I need all the help I can get. And you know what? It took a long time for me to face that reality. You know, I don't know. I don't have a lot. I opened my big mouth and I got her foot stuck in it. It's kind of cool, you know, watching things change and stuff. You know, I remember when she had all of her cards up there trying to do her speech and stuff, you know, and I kept thinking, you know what? It'd be so fun to go up there and shuffle them all up. But it wouldn't be no fun because they're all numbered, so she just put them back in order again, you know. But you know what? Reality, one of the things that I've learned, I've been in recovery for a while now, and I've learned that, you know, reality is really a matter of perception. This is a disease of perception, you know, and, you know, one person's reality might be, you know, totally opposite of what somebody else's reality is, you know, and that's okay. You know, for a long time I lived in my reality. You know, my reality was putting me in some pretty bad places and giving me some pretty bad ideas and stuff, you know. But I didn't know about stuff like serenity, you know, and peace, you know, and happiness and stuff, you know. And today, my perceptions have changed, you know. Sometimes reality really sucks, you know, but that's okay, you know. I don't have to get crazy and do stupid crap, you know, to deal with it, you know. I can face it head on, you know. I still sponsor people, you know, in my program too, I learn stuff, you know, when I teach them stuff. You know, it's funny. One of my favorite ones of recent years, you know, is I got this one guy, you know, and he spins himself in a circle. He's rather controlling himself. In fact, he's doing his steps again on control. And he's always being all upset and turned around and flipped upside down over things, you know, and I told him, you know, I said, well, you know, if you want to be all upset and turn around, flipped upside down and stuff, you know, that's your choice. But you got to realize that also serenity is a choice. And then it occurred to me, did I say that? Serenity is a choice. And so now, see, today I can remember that myself, you know. Some wise guy said that, you know. But serenity is a choice, you know. And that's reality, too. You know, I can choose to be all spun around. I've been working at that registration table since Friday afternoon. And I found myself getting all spun out and, you know, I'm not doing it my way. And I realized, well, you know what? It doesn't matter if they're doing it my way or not. It's still doing, you know. So I decided, you know what? I'm just going to let it do. And I'm going to be a happy camper and let this convention do what it's supposed to do and have a good time with it, you know, and have fun, you know, in my convention, you know, and choose to be serene. And if I want to get pissed off and upset a little bit, I can choose to do that too, you know, and I have a couple of times. So reality is, you know, is that I don't have any control over nothing but me. You know, they taught me a long time ago with the serenity prayer, you know, that courage to change what I can, that's me, you know, the serenity to accept what I can't change, that's pretty much everything outside of me, you know. And the wisdom of the difference, well, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure that stuff out. Okay, so I'll try to take care of me and let y'all take care of y'all. And, you know, if I get to spinning behind that table, just tell me, hey, serenity's a choice.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Kitty.
Hi, Kitty.
It never ceases to amaze me how different a lot of us are in the program from one another. Melinda was a control freak and everything in order and everything else. And I had always thought I was pretty much that. I had raised my kids on my own. I had started my own business and everything else. And I had dated a very active alcoholic, and I'm so smart, I knew that that didn't work. So I got myself a recovering alcoholic and married him, only to discover that I didn't know as much about alcoholism as I thought, because this was a recovering alcoholic. He wasn't drinking, but I didn't have to worry about control because he had zero tolerance for anybody else having control. And instead of my fighting that, I just went doormat. And if he was unhappy with something, I would just try harder. If he came home and was screaming and yelling about, why don't we have any of the something or other chips? And I had six kinds of chips in the house, but not the ones he wanted. I was the one who would get in the car and go to the grocery store and get them for him. And I thought I was just being this understanding, adapting person. I was so proud of him for having turned his life around, you know, that as long as there was no drinking, I guess I didn't expect common decency. I was so overwhelmed with what he'd been able to do. And so year by year, I gave up a little bit more of my power and a little bit more of my power. And I wish I had crazy, crazy stories. This one will be very sane, I'm sure you'll see. That the way that I expressed my anger was because there were rules. Rules in our house. And one of them was that Tupperware does not go through a dishwasher. And so when I was angry, I would wait for him to leave the house to go play golf. And I would dig out every piece of Tupperware in the house, and I would run it through the dishwasher. And if I had time, I would run it through twice. And then I would quick dry it all off and put it back so that he wouldn't know. And that was my idea of standing up for myself. And I was in Al-Anon. And I could see it with a lot of other things, but this facing reality, for me, I had some total blind spots where I didn't see how I was behaving. And it was listening to the stories here and listening to what other people were saying that I began to realize I'm not being realistic with myself. And I think the point that I was headed for was what I think is so wonderful about this program is the same steps, the same slogans, the same traditions, the same readings that work for a control freak work for a doormat, that work for somebody who's got chaos in their life or somebody who's got it all cranked down so tightly. To me, that is magic in a program, that it can meet all of our needs. And the more we open up to it, the more we get funny stories. I have one quick story that's one of my favorite now. Because as I progressed in pulling back some of my own power, owning my own power, what happened was instead of the alcoholic being impressed with how I was taking charge of myself again and not leaning on him, he decided to leave the relationship. And as sometimes happens, another woman became involved. To me, this is a great miracle of the program. One day I went to my home meeting, and I had seen this other woman. I had just seen her from the back. And as I was sitting in that meeting, a newcomer came in, and she sat down, and I went, oh my gosh, it's her. And when we went around the room and said names, and of course we were going by first names, and she said her first name, guess what it was? Same as the other woman. And I freaked out. And it was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was in charge of literature, and she came up, she wanted to buy a book, and it was like, excuse me a minute. And I had somebody else handle it. Well, I ran down to the end. I said to my sponsor, I can't do this. And she's going, oh my gosh, I don't know. Okay, let's just calm down. Somebody handled the book that was on. And we decided, okay, what am I going to do if she shows up again? Well, she showed up again the next meeting. And I had talked it over with my sponsor, and I got enough program to be able to go up to her after the meeting and say, do we know each other? Should we know each other? And she said, well, I don't know. You know, I've been staring at you, which she had been, thinking I knew you from somewhere. And, of course, I'm assuming it's this and that. Bottom line is we sorted it out. Totally different woman. She's not from the same town. She doesn't do the same work. She doesn't anything else. And I said, well, you're a newcomer. I owe you an amends. And you don't even know what that is yet. And I briefly told her the story, and she laughed. She said, that's the best laugh I've had all day. The miracle of this program is, a couple of months later, that woman asked me to be her sponsor. And whenever we can't find the humor in something, some situation either one of us are going through, we'll think about how we met and how it all happened. And that's a matter of being open, being willing to turn it over to God, take the chance. I'm not sure what I would have done if she had been that woman. I hope I had enough program not to have, you know, cold cocked her or something like that. But it worked out well. It's the program, the steps. If you trust them, it all does work out. Thank you.
paycheck.
Nice.
Come on. You.
Hi. My name is Martha. Of course, I can be George, too, but that's a whole other story. Anyways, I just got a real reality check. This is like my third Al-Anon meeting, and I'm from another program, too. But, yeah, I was just thinking back about how my life is so chaotic, and my husband took the kids on vacation this year. And I chose not to go. And I told him I had to work and I couldn't get off work because I didn't feel like going to the grandparents, feeling like the happy family and no chaos and this and that. So I chose to stay home. And my daughter stayed home with me. Well, while they were gone, I put my house in perfect order, the way I wanted it, and nobody was to destroy it. And I leave little lists, and I do all these things, and I put little articles in the bathroom just 2 days ago, underlining notes, you know, the whole deal. And I'm, you know, telling my husband, you are so controlling, you know, you just really are, and I can't stand it. So this is really my reality check. And my kids are looking at me going, you know what? You're a nut, you know, we just did this, and we're going to do this, and that, and we're tired, too, and so I don't know. Here I am. This is actually my first convention. I've always tried to get to the convention every year, but, of course, everything else got in the way. So I'm really glad to be here, and I've heard a lot of things I needed to hear, and I know many things I need to change. For myself. Not for him, for me. And I'm going to work on that. And I'm going to find a sponsor, and I'm going to come to some more meetings. And I think my life started spinning out of control again when I stopped going to so many meetings because I was so busy with the kids and school and the house and the dysfunctional husband and the this and the that. And I'm realizing where I need to be now and the people I need to be with to find my serenity, and probably everybody else's too. So, thank you for letting me speak.
Hi, my name's Linda.
Hi, Linda.
I belong to the other fellowship also. I just started Al-Anon meetings a couple of months ago, and then I went in for some surgery, so I haven't been to my Al-Anon meeting. I like Al-Anon. I mean, it. You know, I hear women say all the time that it saved their lives. You know, I'm going through a divorce right now, too, and it's like, it's him. It's his fault, don't you know that? Because I was the perfect wife, you know, and I want to learn to be better to myself, you know, and I pray all the time for God to help me with my character defects, you know, and I hear a lot of good stuff in Al-Anon. I really do. But it's like, you know, we got married and, you know, and it was like 6 months after we got married, I left him, you know, and then we were separated for 6 months and then we went back for 6 months and now we've been separated again for all this year. And it's like, you know, and this time he's done and I'm done. And you know, and I'm starting to read, and you know, and I want to get more involved in Al-Anon, and I want to work on myself. You know, I have an Al-Anon sponsor, and you know, and she tells me to call her every day and get all that stuff out of my head so it doesn't build up. You know, I do a lot of meetings, but I haven't been to meetings. Like I said, I just got out of, you know, the surgery, so I was in bed for like 2 weeks, you know, and hadn't been to meeting in like 3 weeks. And then it's funny because a good friend of mine, his girlfriend just joined the other program, and he hooked us up, you know, for to come to this convention. And she's like, he's like, well, she wants to go. And I go, I've never been either. I go, I want to go too. And so her, I, and another friend are all here together, you know. And it's like, and this is a good thing, you know. And so far, this is a good meeting. And I'm glad to hear everybody. And I liked your story, you know. I mean, me too. I'm Miss Perfect. You know, my husband used to tell me, why do you got to be so perfect? I mean, my house is always kept clean, you know, dinner on the table when he walked in that door, you know. It's like, why does he not see this? What is wrong with him, you know? Get a program, dude, you know. And it's like, and he just... You know, he was dry, you know. I mean, he claims he has a program, but he doesn't, you know. And that's where I'm wrong, because I always judge him, and I need to work on Linda, not worry about him, you know. But I want to stick around, and I want to do more meetings. And, you know, next month I have a birthday. And I don't want to drink no matter what, though, you know. And as long as I do both fellowships, I know I can take care of myself and work on Linda and be better to Linda and people around me. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name's Pat Hill. I haven't a clue. I had so many ideas when Imelinda was talking, and then they just left. When you get old, they leave real quick. So my thinking about taking charge of my life and being in charge of myself, that was really a far cry from what I was when I came to the program. What I did was keep myself in meetings, made a commitment to meetings, always came to my meeting whether I was having a good day or a bad day. I didn't make my mind up to go. I just planned to go and went. That's been a really important part of my program. So the commitment I've made has paid off for me. I have a very, I have a good life, but I have a really listening to the speaker in the Al-Anon luncheon, I thought she expressed her love for her spouse so well and her respect for him. And that's really important for me to be reminded of. And I don't get reminded of that in my daily life. What I had to do was stop and think. What I heard her express was she's a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And between someone attending and working an Al-Anon program, someone attending and working an AA program who has sobriety in the house, there really isn't a lot of excuse for things being out of control. I don't have a lot of problems. I have a dog that's smarter than I am. I have unconditional love for my dog. So all I can tell you is that my life is so good, and I credit the program for it, and that's all I can say. I came, I saw, I stayed. Always a good idea to follow through on what you've been presented with. It was suggested to me that I might come to Al-Anon. I did, and I have to tell you, I've been coming for a long time. I'm never well enough to stop. I cannot stop. And it's just doing the four-step workshops, working the steps, just being so involved has been what's made a difference in my life. I can't focus on the other person if I'm really thinking about what I can do about what my situation is to make me a little more responsible, a little better. I look at him when anything goes wrong. It's just too funny. He's the fixer. He has to take care of all the problems in the house. And we had things like my sister came to stay with us when she was out of the hospital and we needed a hospital bed. So my husband had to take apart a bed that was one of those where another bed pulls out, a trundle. Can you imagine taking apart a trundle bed and disassembling it and putting it outside? And then when the hospital bed left, you know, I didn't think about doing anything about that. It was just, Tom, would you put that bed back together? And he's just looking at all the parts. It was like he'd never seen it before. And I just waited for him to do it. You know, I have such confidence that he'll take care of it. And that's really an unreasonable expectation, but by God, it's worked for me. Thanks. That's all. Before I start to my
talk. Okay, are we going to close or we have a quick share time? Anybody with a burning desire to share?
I'll share real quick.
Okay.
I love the topic. Hi, I'm Christine. Grateful. Al-Anon. You are awesome.
I need your phone number. Anyway, I'm Christine Grateful Al-Anon, and I just want to say two things. I've been doing a lot of inventory and reality. You know, I love Fantasyland and Disneyland because that's the way I grew up. So I love this topic. I thought, reality, I've never tried that before. Maybe I'll try that. And that is so honest. You can't even believe it. But two things I wanted to share in my inventory. And one is adapt now, pay later. And that's what's happened to me. I adapted. And never be loyal beyond my belief system. And I've done those two things, and I am paying for it. And I'm just announcing to myself right now in reality. This reading she just did, I just discovered it last week in the Courage to Change book. So I got to remember what page that is. I've been reading it to everybody on the phone. I thought, I can't believe she's reading that. It's an awesome reading. But I'm no longer going to adapt to accommodate anymore. I'm trying. That's my goal this year. And when somebody is trying to push a belief system on me that's antithetical to my belief system, I know I'm with the wrong person or in the wrong place, and I need to get out of there. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you for a great meeting. In closing, I would like to say that the opinions expressed here were strictly those of the person who gave them. Take what you like and leave the rest. The things you heard were spoken in confidence and should be treated as confidential. Keep them within the walls of this room and the confines of your mind. A few special words to those of you who haven't been with us long. Whatever your problems, there are those among us who have had them too. If you try to keep an open mind, you will find help. You will come to realize that there is no situation too difficult to be bettered and no unhappiness too great to be lessened. We aren't perfect. The welcome we give you may not show the warmth we have in our hearts for you. After a while, you'll discover that though you may not like all of us, you'll love us in a very special way. The same way we already love you. Talk to each other, reason things out with someone else, but let there be no gossip or criticism of one another. Instead, let the understanding, love, and peace of the program grow in you one day at a time. Will all who care to join me in closing with a serenity prayer?
Okay, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're there. Okay, thank you.
Very much intentional, but I can Yes. Okay. Do you know when this is?
No, I don't think I'm sure.
First of all, I learned more about the disease. He needs to learn about it.
I don't want to live with that person that's in my house. I've made that decision.
Okay, then it's not about anything he's doing. It's about the choices you're making.
I've had enough.
Well, I will see what my
it has been 13 years that I've been unhappy, trying to overlook. Somebody who tells me, and I don't know, I didn't want to condemn.
Okay, so are you a therapist? It's them.
No,
surely he has it.
Oh, no, yeah.
I don't know. Oops. So much another group coming in, so okay.
We're at the point where there's not even conversation. He was a good person. He was there when I was sick. He was excellent caretaker.